But for many of you, it is the first time in Israel. For many of you, it's not the first time in Israel. For many of you, this might be the first time that you're going to take the 9 days a little bit more seriously. And try to understand what the 9 days, maybe for the people who, you know, eating dairy or hate dairy, they take the 9 days very seriously all the time. But there's a quote-unquote famous Gemara. It's a famous Gemara I always tell my students because I know it. Now, it'll be famous to you also, okay, if you haven't learned it before. It's in the first two sources in front of you. And I want you to remember this Gemara when you go to the Kotel on Tisha B'Av. It's a Gemara that you might have heard of, but we're going to read it inside. We'll ask certain questions. And I'm going to have today, this morning, two major points that I'm hoping that you will focus on as you continue your summer, as you continue your journey here in Matzah, to be able, hopefully, to internalize two points. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Okay? There are two stories in the first two stories here. It's the last Gemara in the Sechet Makot, on Daf Chachal. The Gemara says as follows. Kfar haya Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar, ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Malcham Adel. It tells us about a tiyul. Look at that, Machan Faris. It's telling us, a tiyul, we have these Greek rabbis, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar, ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, they're walking. And what do? Vishamu kol hamona shel romei mipalta. What do they do? They heard the voices, the loud voices of the Romans from a far distance away, of Mea v'esri mil. Very far distance away. They heard the hamula. They heard the noise of the Romans. And what about the Romans? Were they in charge? Times of the second Beit HaMikdash, Romans are in charge. What happened? They heard it, and what happened? V'itchilu bochim. What was the natural response? God bless you, Mr. Evan. V'itchilu to what? The cry makes sense. Rabbi Akiva, what was Rabbi Akiva's response? Laughed. Rabbi Akiva misachit. Which one has the more normal response? Crying. Good. Amru lo. All the rabbis turned to Rabbi Akiva. Why are you laughing? Get the matka misachit. Amr alayhem. So he says to them, why are you crying? Amrullo says, hello. Kushim shimishtachavim, ma'atzavim, mekatrim, lavod azara, lavod akochavim. Yoshvim bedach v'hashkei v'anu beit hadom ragrei otinu sarut v'yesh v'monifkeh. They said to him, I don't understand these heathens that are bowing down to Avodah Zarah and they're sitting all tranquil and all happy and healthy and our Beit HaMikdash is all burnt up in fire and we shouldn't cry. So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Akiva's response was, L'kach ani nitzachet, this is the reason I'm laughing. Uman went over it, so the people who don't follow God's will, they get this great reward in this world, and they have all rule and autonomy and sovereignty in Jerusalem. So Ma'ose would zone up to the people that will do His will even more so. Alachat kama makam. That's story number one. Everyone with me, story number one? Very simple. You have a question already? We're going to have a lot of questions. Let's just get through the stories, and then I'm going to have a lot of questions. Deal? Okay, quick summary of the story. We have the two twins, we're good. Okay, with the story, we have Nikki. Which one's Nikki? There. That's Katie. What's your name?
Bracha.
Bracha, let me meet you. Where are you from, Bracha?
Riverdale.
S-A-R, Manhattan. I got it. Manhattan's just sitting together. I got it. We're good. Now, the first story was what? Rabbis were going on this journey. They heard a tremendous amount of noise of these Romans that are in control. And they start crying. Rabbi Akiva's laughing. They say, what are you doing? Why are you crying? They said, what do you mean, why are you crying? Why are you laughing? So he explains, we're crying because these people are living up the life, and where our Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. And he says, he makes a kal v'chomer, and he says, if they who do not fulfill God's will is living up the life, so for sure, kal v'chomer, the people who follow God's will for sure live the life. End of story one. Story number two. Shuv! And again, when we have stories in the Gemara, it's to teach us a very important lesson. It's not just story. Shuv pamachat. Next story. Hayom in Yerushalayim. They're coming up to Yerushalayim. Kevin shigiu laharatzofim. They got up to Mount Scopus. Karub b'dehem. They what? What did they do? They rendered their garments. They tore their clothes. Very good. Kevin shigiu laharavayim. They got up to what? To the Temple Mount. Ra'u shu'al. They saw what? Fox. Okay, they saw a fox that what? She had Sami Beit Kochet Rashid that did what? And went into or came out?
Came out.
The fox came out of the Holy of Holies. What did they start doing, the rabbis?
Crying.
What did Rabbi Akiva do? Laugh. Okay, Amalot. How many people have learned this Gemara before? Okay, good. So, and the beauty is, for those people that learned it, hopefully we'll go a little bit deeper. For those people that didn't learn it, you'll be able to now get even deeper because you haven't learned it. Okay, now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva started laughing. So what did they say to him? Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? Why are you crying? Sounds familiar, right? Amalot. They said to him, Makom shekatuv bo, v'azara korei yuma, where it says in the Torah that a non-Kohen that comes into the Kodesh Kodashim or comes closer to it will die because of its tremendous holiness. And now foxes are coming out of there. We're not going to cry. Amalevi says, that's why I'm laughing. Because it says in Isaiah, v'idali edim ne'emanim, I will have two faithful witnesses, Uriah HaKohen and Zechariah ben Yechariah. And the Gemara says, what are you talking about? How could that be? Uriah, they did not live in the same time period. So what is the Pasuk talking about? Uriah was in the time of the Beit HaMikdash HaRishon, and Zechariah was in the Mikdash HaShemi. Ella says in Gemara that the Torah, or the, in this case the Navi, intertwines the Nebuah of Zechariah with the Nebuah of Uriah. What are these two prophecies? In Uriah, by Uriah, it says, Micha Lachim Bigalchem, because of you, Tzion Tzadeh Techarash. What's going to happen? In the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, there will be a destruction. We will not have a Beit HaMikdash. By Zechariah in chapter 8, what happens? The prophecy says what? Oh, Yeshu's king, Skino, Yerchalot Yushalayim. Now what's going to happen? That there's going to be a lot of elders, and there's going to be a lot of children playing in Yushalayim. Many people believe that this is the time that we're in right now. This fulfillment of kids playing in Yerushalayim, are going to walk around in the next couple of days. You're going to go near the Kotel and Tisha B'Av. You will see this. And when I lived in Yerushalayim, Ms. Mark will take your question about Sheva, right, Michelle? But I'll take your question in a second. I felt when I played soccer, what some people in Europe call football, right? When I played soccer with my kid, I played in the robot, and I felt like I was fulfilling this promise. Just to finish the Gemara, then I'll take your question and any other questions. He says what? So the end of the Gemara is Ad shelo nitkayma nivuato shel Uriah. Until the fulfillment of the prophecy of Uriah, I was afraid. Shelo nitkayim nivuah of Zechariah, says Rabbi Akiva. Until the fulfillment of the prophecy of what? Of the destruction, I wasn't sure that there was going to be a rebuilding. But now, Achshav shenitkayma, the prophecy, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Uriah, I know for sure that the prophecy of Zechariah is going to happen. And with that, the Gemara concludes that the rabbi said to him, Akiva Michamtanu, Akiva Michamtanu. Akiva, you've done what? What does Michamtanu mean?
Comfort us.
Yeah, comfort us. Right? Not an easy word. End of the Gemara. Okay? That's the end of the Gemara. Everyone with me in the second part of the story? Okay. Now let's ask a couple of questions. I said I'm going to try to focus on two major points. There's around 7 or 8 questions to ask. I'm going to take your questions on this. And then I'm going to focus on only one of the questions. I could spend just 45 minutes to 3 hours just on this Gemara, but since I have 15 minutes, I will make sure to, as I said, hone in on 2 points. Yes, you waited very patiently.
So,
What are you confused?
I'm confused. What is the hardest prophecy?
Uriah's prophecy is the first page that says that it's going to be Lachim B'Yachem because of your iniquities. There'll be the Beit HaMikdash should be destroyed. Tzion Tzadeh Techarash. And Zechariah, at the time of the Second Temple, at the time of the Redemption, when the elders and the children are all combined together, we're going to be building up the streets of Yerushalayim, playing the streets of Yerushalayim.
How does that answer the question?
How does what answer the question? Like, he's saying, why are you crying? Does that mean why are you happy?
Because now that he knows the
Uriah's prophecy. Because
now he
sees,
like,
what
does
he see?
He knows that Uriah's prophecy is also better.
Oh, good. Okay, so there's some code words here. Okay, which means one of the major. What are the other questions we have? So, what are the questions we have to ask on these stories? Some of the questions that we're not going to answer is, well, we will answer. One of them is the connection between the two stories. They sound very similar, correct? But there's obviously differences between them. That's number one. What else do we have? We talked about a fox. What's the significance of it being a fox coming out? Of the why a fox? Could have been something else. Am I with you? Why a fox?
Because
Good, we get that, very good.
Fox controls the Roman Empire.
Fox what?
Fox in some culture, Fox in some cases in that time it resembled the Roman culture.
Interesting. Interesting. That foxes would be part of Roman culture. It's interesting.
I thought it was a wolf or a boar.
That's what?
I thought it was a wolf or a boar.
I looked that up. I don't know about that, but that's very, very interesting. Okay, so that's the question to ask also. Why the wolf? Okay, the one of the major questions about what they gave the name, I'm sorry?
Atzira.
What?
Atzira.
Atzira. Atzira?
Yeah.
What Atzira asked was, what is the connection between the fulfillment of the prophecy? It sounds like that he almost is not believing in the prophecy. So one of them happens. We're not going to get into that question also. That's a very, very important piece. And then what happens is that there is at the end there's a double nechama. Akiva nechamtam, Akiva nechamtam. Why is there a double covering? So one could say that it's referring to both stories. But if it, or both prophecies. But if it's both stories, then what? You should have said Akiva nechamtam in the first place. But the other major question, major, major question, you look at this, besides what I'm going to focus on really is, everyone with me? What I'm going to focus on is the fox piece. What's the story of the fox? And number two is, what is Rabbi Akiva known for?
Ba'afta
Re'echa Kamocha, right? What's Rabbi Akiva? And both of these stories are telling me what? Times of destruction, right? And at first glance, this is the antithesis of who Rabbi Akiva is, right? They're all crying. Rabbi Akiva is laughing in the face. You might, and we know Rabbi Akiva himself talks about how detrimental laughter, and again, not laughing as in a certain amount of healthy laughter, but tzchok, they talk about that it's a certain lightheadedness that could lead to avirot. Tzchok is not a good thing. So the Gemara even says, Asur la'adam shimalei tzchok ba'olam hazeh. You're not allowed to have tzchok in this world. It might be connected to the Chorban Beit HaMikdash, or it might be just because it takes you off your concentration or what you're supposed to be focused on in this world. So what is going on that Rabbi Akiva is laughing here? What's this laugh? What's this laughter about? What's your name again? Middle name. Yeah, you. What is it? Not you. Okay. This guy. Yeah.
Jacob Herman. That's why I was smart.
Jacob Herman from Montreal.
Toronto?
Yeah.
Sorry. He didn't have as much hair.
When did you... Jacob, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Good. Jacob, you don't remember that? I didn't share in camp.
No.
Okay. Okay. Now, so what do you say? So two major questions. Number one is, what's the significance of the fox? And number two, is Rabbi Akiva being callous here? Callous? That he's, they're crying, and what is he doing? He's laughing in the face. Okay? So, to answer these questions, I want to be able to look at, they're different answers. But as I said, I want to keep it short and simple. One answer I want to bring to you is what Ms. Batsheva had said, but it's in the name of the Aruch HaNeh, Rabbi Yaakov Emler. Yaakov Emler, and this is what a lot of people you'll hear about, and they're going to talk about it in buzzwords. And they talk about this concept of unity, and this concept of let's all get along. And I'm a realist, and I want to get along, and I want to talk about unity. But for that to happen, it's not just talking about in buzzwords, it's talking about real action. Real action, real to be able, I have 25 people here, so hopefully when we focus on the two points we have today, you'll be able to see that it's not just buzzwords, but maybe we'll have a plan to actually rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. There's another famous Gemara that says, what's the reason that the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed versus the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? Because you've learned in all the camps that you've been till now, the first Beit HaMikdash was what? Right, the big three, would you say that? Good. So Harmi, the big three, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shir Chasamim, and how about the second Beit HaMikdash? Sinat Chinam. Okay? Now, we're going to redefine for you what Sinat Chinam means. Most people say Sinat Chinam is baseless hatred. Okay? I'll come back to that in one second. But the Aruch HaNeh, the Yaakov Eflinger, in the third source in front of you, explains the significance of the fox. And say like Batsheva, what is the significance of the fox? Explains the Aruch HaNeh. Why, specifically, did he show the fox coming out? It could have been something else. Why the fox? Mashi, Herakonish Baruch Hu, that said he came. The Marsha has a different answer. We're only going to focus on the Aruch HaNer today. Yish Sofarish, based on Gemara and Yom. Gemara says, Kishipalu Anshei Knesset HaGadola, the people, men of greater assembly, they said, please, let us get the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah in our hands. What happened? Shechri Babayit, Yatzara Kidmut Aryeh Beit Kodesh HaKadoshim. Remember, we just said the first Beit HaMikdash was the big three. So at that point, they said, their Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was out of control. Just like nowadays, it's Gilead Arayot. At that point, it was crazy Avodah Zarah. So the rabbi said, please let us get us under control. And as a result of the Chorm Beit HaMikdash, what happened, what came out of the Beit Kodesh Hashem, the Gemara says, is a lion. Amalek Navi Yisrael, this lion represents the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah, which makes sense. Somehow the concept of lion, strength, let's move on. The third lion, as we know, we just said that the Beit HaMikdash Sheni was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. So in the first Beit HaMikdash, which came out, what I mentioned, the third line, Yatzar Kidmut Aryeh Beit Kodesh Kodeshim, Shehu Aya Yetzer Hara Shel Avodah Zarah HaGibor Ka'Aryeh, that's similar to the strength of a lion, Shehri Babayit, because that was the strength at the time of the first Beit HaMikdash. What was the Chorban Bayit chain? We said Sinat Chinam. We're going to explain what that means. Specifically, explains the Aruch HaNer, that's why it's a fox. I gave a speech in a couple of places. It used to be around 2 or 3 years ago, there was a video. There was a video that went viral. What was it called? What does the fox say, right? What was the fox say? It's the most ridiculous, stupid song, right? So what does the fox say? Right? The fox said, right? And it had no meaning. But the idea of what does the fox represent? The fox represents, according to the Aruch HaNer, the Churban Bayit Sheni, we had said Sinat Chinam. It was not that people weren't learning Torah. It's not that people weren't doing Milut Chesed. But what happened? Sinat Chinam. What is the fox known for? It's called the sly fox. Ever heard that before? Sly fox? And that's what the Aruch HaNer explains. Rak al-yidei tachpulot mizimot nizraz sinah b'nihem. What happened? What was the hatred? It's because people weren't being yashar. People weren't getting along and treating each other with respect. Okay? They were just scheming against each other. Because that's the derech of the Yetzer Hara. It says, if you see something going on bad, it's like a mitzvah, a sheep, shamanim, I hate that person. That person is terrible. Okay? Like it's a mitzvah, the Yetzer Hara rolls up his sleeve. Lisnol l'rdof ishet achiv. And that's how Sinat Chinam comes, and that's what the Shu'al represents. The Shu'al represents this concept of Sinat Chinam. Now, we had said baseless hatred. Now, why did I say that I think that's the wrong definition? What does the word baseless hatred mean? It means without a basis, right? Now, is there such a thing, Mr. Evan? If I hate you, do you think I have a reason for it? Probably, right? Well, I woke up in the morning, you know what? I had a cup of coffee and said, you know what? I'm going to hate you. Does that make sense? No. Yeah, you know, I admit the illness. No.
Before the coffee made it.
What?
Before the coffee made it.
That's good. I was thinking the same thing. Great minds think alike. Okay? Now, what does baseless hatred mean? There's no basis. I guarantee you, most normal people, if I have an agenda, if I hate somebody, guess what? It's because they did something to me. Therefore, by definition, the definition of baseless is not a true definition. Everyone with me? So what does Sinat Chinam then mean? Sinat Chinam means, this is what Rabbi Willard, the Rosh Hashiva of Hawaii, said. He explained that it means that it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Now, the Shu'al represents a person who's scheming. And that's one level. But then you have what we call, I'm a good person. I'm a good person, right? The Shu'al is one extreme, if you will, of the schemer, of the person who's looking to cause rifts between people. But then you have a much more nuanced challenge that everybody here in the room, we all have, everybody, which means how to get along with people even if you don't agree with them. Even if you think you are right. You think you're right, and they are wrong. I was once with a rabbi who said, would always say, you are entitled to your erroneous opinion. It's very nice. Okay? The idea of how do you deal when people disagree with you? How do you deal with the diversity of our open world now? And specifically in the groups that we're in, where especially as you're growing in teenagers, what happens is that a lot of people play the win-lose game. You know what the win-lose game is? What's the win-lose game? The only way I can win is if you lose. So therefore what? Therefore the only way that I'm going to win is I'm going to make sure that you feel like a loser. And part of this message, of this concept of what the Gemara, and when we talk about Ahavat Chinam versus Sinat Chinam, is being able to both grow up on maturity-wise, emotionally, but also to put that in our lexicon and put it into our mind to be able to work on it. Not just say unity, 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 but to actually work on having that respect for other people, so even if you vociferously disagree with them, even if you disagree with them. Okay? This is, if you look at the last source, this is the point number one of this year. I said I'm going to have 2 points, I have around 6 more minutes. Okay? This is what we're going to read in the Haftorah, in this week's Parsha. And this is what, in Shabbat Chazon, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, that God says, I don't want your mincha shav. I don't want your meal offerings that are a waste. And I don't want your ketoret, your incense offerings that is an abomination. And in this, the Meshech Chachma, Rabbi Meir Simcha Midavit, gives an unbelievable interpretation based on the Gemara. We're going to skip into the middle of the last paragraph, where he says the first idea of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, similar to Sinat Chinam, as much as we've all heard maybe Sinat Chinam Gemara, many of us have not heard of this next Gemara. It's around 7 lines down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 lines down, the last words online is Perek Kol Kitvei, Shabbat 119b, where it says, Lo Chorva Yerushalayim, Ela Bishvil Shelo Hochichu Zedzeh. The Gemara in Shabbat 119b says that Jerusalem was not destroyed because one did not rebuke each other. Because they rebuke each other. What's the pasuk in Eich? What's the pasuk in Eich? Shemar hayusareha ke'ayalim lo matzu mirek. It says their leaders were like ayalim, who are usually, what's an ayal? Nesher ke'ayal, what is it? What is it? The one who's very, very fast. Deer, okay? They're very fast. Okay? But at this point they were tired. Their leaders were Ayalim, but they couldn't find their flock. And here, the Gemara Darshan, this pasuk, which we're gonna read on Tisha B'Av, Ma Ayal, what is it about this Ayal now? Listen to the language of the Gemara. Ma Ayal Zer Rosho Shozet. Bitzab Nabo Shozet. It says that what happens? These Ayalim, what do? They stand in a row. And the head is what? He's head down towards the Zanaf. What's the Zanaf? Jessica, what is it? The tail. My head is face down, my Briyut is face down to the tail of the animal right in front of me. So it says, Af Yisrael. That's what it means. That what was going on at the time of the Korban. Yisrael, that generation, Kafshut Me'en Bakarka, they put their proverbially, they put the what? They put their head down in the sand. They did not rebuke each other. And the Meshech Chacham explains there are two types of rebuke you can have. One type of rebuke is when you're talking about people who are of the same age. So if you talk about people of the same age, if I give you a Musar Shluz and you're of the same age, to me, you don't want to hear. Maybe if it's again, or that's a different type of rebuke that he talks about here. That you want to listen to. We're talking about somebody of your peer. So at that point, you're on the same level. But what type of rebuke can you receive of a person who's at your age? Not the emotional shmooze, but it's observation. You see what they're doing in your awe. Whether it's their davening, whether it's their midot, whether it's how they treat their parents, whatever it is. But that's what happens when, doesn't matter if it's a peer age group of 16 or 40, whatever age group you're at, the Muslim that you're going to get is by observing. Explains the Meshech Chachma to end off our first point. Why was the Beit HaMikdash destroyed? And this is the first thing without buzzwords. Is that, because what were they doing? They were looking at the Zanav of each people. They were looking at, their Rosh was what? Focusing on the other person's tail. What's the tail? What's that imagery? There, that fault. They weren't looking to be inspired. They were what? Windows. They were saying, I'm good because that person said. This is the biggest lesson both in our Midot, okay, which is what? And it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work in what's called Ayin Tova, which I thought about this morning when preparing for the shiur also, is that Avram Avinu, we just finished with the Mishnah Perkei Avot, when we were preparing Avram to Bilam, and Avram was known as having an Ayin Tova. Now why was I blown away? I was blown away because Avram Avinu at the same time was known as Avram HaIvri. What does it mean that Avram HaIvri? Avram was what? On the one side of the Jordan, quote unquote, while everyone else was on the other side. Meaning, he's probably stubborn. Avram was a stubborn dude, no? He said, I'm right, everyone else is worshipping Avodah Zarah. I'm right. Now, what I thought about this morning is, for me to be that stubborn, a lot of times, what do people have to do? For me to be that stubborn is, I have to think that I'm right and everyone else is wrong. But the concept is that what? Avram Avinu did what? Despite having a strong sense of right and wrong, he was still able to do what? To see the good in everybody else. This is a midah. I'll tell you a funny story and I'll end up with part of the point. Funny story was I was recently in a training session. And it was actually on this point called Ayin Tova, which means looking for the good in people. One of the nicest things people have told about me, and I think it's a great thing, is that you try to look for the good in person and not afraid to say, you know what, that person, you're great at this, you're really great at this. And what's funny was we had this session, and between me and you and my tape over here, my recording, and the guy was giving a session on Ayin Tova, and he was terrible. He had gone through the course in how to, you know, train people to look at the good, but he himself was a terrible presenter. He knew certain like tips and how to run it, but he himself was horrible. So can you imagine my scene? My scene was I was sitting there, he's trying to tell us Ayin Tova, and all I'm working on is, my God, this guy's terrible, but I have to think about Ayin Tova. The whole point is I'm trying to think Ayin Tova, but I'm like, this guy is wasting my time, he's terrible. It's like, it's somewhat humorous. The truth is, I learned something from him. Because I worked so hard, because I could have just totally tuned out, because literally it was a waste of time. But I stayed in those hour and a half, and if I had to choose my hour and a half, I would do something else. But since I was stuck there, so I said, you know what, I'll try to get something from it. So at the end, I got something from it. And it's part of the training of not just buzzwords, of being able to be like Avraham Avinu, to be able not to learn from the shual of trying to start up, but sinat chinam of avat chinam, of being able to be not only right, but to be able to be smart, to be able to know how to deal with the disagreements that we have. Because as I said before, it's not baseless hatred, it's unnecessary hatred. Unnecessary hatred means that if I hate Harmon, I have a reason for it. And I might be right. But sinat chinam means I might be right, but then I'm able to be smart about it. And be able to see, you know what, maybe I'm right, but maybe he has an angle also. Maybe there's something going on over there also that I didn't understand. And being able to practice that Ayin Tova. It takes practice. And that's one of the things that he had said. One of the things he had said is you take something that you're very inspired by and be able to read that passage, whatever it is, to be able to see the good in a person. Each person has to work on their own training. But that's one idea that I think you can walk out of when people are going to say, you know what, try to be a better person. And to be able to have the Avat Chinam, it's being able to not just throw out buzzwords, but it's this concept of Ayin Tova. It's the concept of really trying to focus on other people's good things. Even like Avraham Avinu definitely disagreed with everybody. At the same time, he's still looking for the good in people. Just one other piece. 2 points. That was one point. Just a second point. Obviously, that has a lot to do with Rabbi Akiva also. Being able to see the good in that idea. One other point is what the Mesh Chacham says about the Minchat Shachar. Here, as much as the concept of working on yourself, it's nice to do that as an individual. One of the ways to do it is when you have a chavruta. A chavruta could be one other person. It could be a whole group of people like you guys are together. But it's something that if you're doing it alone, a lot of times
A lot of times it's much more tough. Much more tough to do things alone. And it's not only to do things tough as alone. Obviously you have to have your own internal strength. But there's something about being able to be part of something great. And that's where you are this summer. As much as you come to Israel and you have your own individual experience, some of you the first time here, some of you not, some of you from Detroit, some of you from LA, some of you are twins, everyone's different here. So you have an individual experience, but there's also a group experience of this Malchach bus, and then the whole Malchach, and other summer programs that are here. There's a certain group experience that happens here. And that's something that's very, very strong, that's the next part I think you'll feel during this week, is that it's not only about your own individual experience, which is important, but it's also that you feel part of something greater than yourself. And that's, in your case, it's Malchach, and then you'll see, again, part of Am Yisrael's. And that's where the first pasuk that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "Vayei Yeshayahu, lo tosifu habi mincha shav." I don't want your mincha that is nonsense. Why the mincha? Why choose the meal offering? Explains the Meshach Chacham, the last verse in front of you, and I'm about to finish. He says, "V'inei mincha inam kreva b'shutfim." Why he talked about the mincha? Because the mincha is not brought together. The mincha is only brought as a yachid. He also said, don't bring me this ridiculous abomination of the Torah. Because the Torah and the Mincha are brought together. The Tzibur, by the Tzibur you bring a Mincha. By the Torah, what's the Torah? What is it known as the incense offering? There's one really bad smelling one, right? What's it called? Right, the Chelban. I don't know if that's an image. Maybe, I don't know if that's a perfect sense. The Chelban is a foul smelling one. But the point is, what you got to bring together, if not your Chayvis. To the point that the Maharam says that you need any fasting that you don't have. There's something about understanding your experience now. Again, keeping your eyes open. Just like the first point was keeping your eyes open for the good things, not only for the bad things, which is something that is tremendous, not only in your religious life, in your moral life, in your family life, to be able to look for good, not only for bad, to make you happy. But also, this concept of being part of something great. Not just being by yourself. This is something that we had said, and this is how the Ein Yaakov explained why in two stories. The Rabbi Akiva, the first case, was happy that that was about himself. Because he himself grew up as a son of a convert. So he said, look, if the Goyim are able to get this serenity and this happiness, so for sure me, who are doing Osir Ritzono. But then the next story is not only about him, the second story was about the Am. That's why he needed the two stories. And furthermore, there's other cases that you see around the room with tremendous amount of potential. And one of the things I do in Yeshiva is about leadership also. And I help try to convince people to take achrayim, the responsibility, whether it's in their communities or wherever it is, to step up and continue your experiences and work together. And many people think leadership is all about just me, myself, being a great leader. I want to end with you, just a quote from Rabbi Lam, Yibad al-Chaim, she continued to have her full Shlema, the former Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva University. And he says, that leadership of any community requires a number of people. Not just one leader, no matter how brilliant or charismatic. No lone rangers need apply for the positions of leadership in any organized community. True communal leadership requires a team, a community of leaders. Which one or two or three may be preeminent, would all have to be together. I think that's, again, this concept of the mincha. If I had to say the two points, like we had said, that's the reason for the two stories, possibly there's the individual experience, which is point number one that I hope everybody will come out of this morning, which is the Ayin Tovah, Avraham Avinu, Rabbi Akiva, not just buzzwords, of being able to really work on themselves to maybe be a little nicer, but not just nicer. It's a certain more mature way of being able to have an Ayin Tovah, not like the Shua. And number two is this concept of being part of something great. Understanding many people are sports fans, though this concept of being part of something great. When they have a sports team that they won, we say, we won! We feel that we're part of something amazing. So Lahavdil is something that you'll see, being part of Am Yisrael, where hopefully we'll be eating some steak, because Mr. Erschler is allergic, but if we won't be able to eat steak because we're still not working on our Ahavat Chinam, so Hopefully afterwards we'll see both the power of how we come together in Sarot, but also the power that you walk around and see the Medinat Yisrael that is growing, and by the day the amount of construction that we're building here, and the Meretz Hashem as a cloud, will be able to say on Yisrael Chaim to be able to build the Beit HaMikdash together. Thank you. Yes.
In what circumstances? So what hate?
Is that like hatred? Sorry, hatred. So what would it be necessary?
Good. The Gemara talks about that. There are times to be able to hate. There are times. The Gemara talk. First of all, the Gemara talks about yitamu achatayim. Okay, it's a separate long shir, but a couple of answers. One answer is to be able to hate a certain action, not hate people. Okay, there are certain people that are the Gemara in Pesachim talks about three different cases about when you're able to hate and when you're allowed to hate. So there are times and how to properly express hatred. Okay? But the Gemara talks about seeing only something with as one witness and coming, which you're not allowed to if they have two witnesses. The Gemara has three cases there. But it's a great question. And I think it's an important piece where one of the things I've tried to tell you is it's not just talking about buzzwords, let's all get together it's real life, and there are times that you're allowed to hate. I once in my life got into a very, very, very tough circumstances, and more than once. And I asked Rav Nemetzal, do I have to forgive that person before Yom Kippur? And he said no. These people caused me and my wife and my family a tremendous amount of tzaras. And I will tell you, it was over not having the Ayin Tova. It was somebody who was having the Ayin Ra, three words of Lashon Hara, that caused a tremendous amount of pain. And I asked Rav Nemetzal at that point, do I have to? And he says, no, you don't have to at that point. So it's very realistic. Now, over the years, hopefully, you're able sometimes to forgive and move on and not let them rent space. Any other questions? Great. It's been a pleasure to know you, and have a great rest of the summer. Simcha.